And this is Lisa Trudeau with the Minnesota Office of Energy Security, and thank you for joining our webinar today. We are here with Matt Sugar, the Technical Review Committee Chair for the Dispersed Renewable Generation Study, and as well as Jared Alhelina, the Dispersed Renewable Generation Technical Study Team Lead. I just want to make a quick note that at the end of the webinar today, there will be a survey. If you are in a group, please let us know how many people are in your group. And if there's anybody who would like to be added to the distribution list, please let us know their names and emails. Also, there will be an opportunity to answer questions and comments in that survey, or you can email questions and comments to dgstudy.commerce@state.mn.us. One other note, if you have any questions during the webinar, please type them into the questioner field, and we will do our best to try and get to those questions during the webinar today. If we did not get to your question, please again go ahead and enter that at the survey at the end or by email. And with that, I'm going to hand over to Matt Sugar.
Great. Thank you, Lisa. Lisa mentioned my name is Matt Sugar. I'm a consultant in the Minnesota Office of Energy Security. I chair the Technical Review Committee for the Dispersed Renewable Generation Transmission Study on behalf of the Minnesota Office of Energy Security. I'm pleased to have so many folks joining us today. Thank you so much. Because we have such a large number of people on the webinar and on the phone, we'll be taking questions in the form of written submitted questions. You should find a question block on your webinar screen. If you could type in questions that you have during the webinar, we will try to gather those after we complete the presentation and answer as many of those as we can get to. We will also have information on the on how to submit follow-up comments after the webinar. So with that, I'd like to get started. We're going to have a brief overview at the start today on the Dispersed Renewable Generation Study requirements, the legislation which enabled and the study and drives the study. We'll have a very brief review and summary of the findings from the Phase 1 study that was concluded in June of this year. And then we'll talk about the Phase 2 part of the second part of the study, a little bit about comments received to date, some initial scoping ideas, and then process and schedule going forward. And again, if you have questions, please type them in during the webinar, and we'll get to as many of those as we can afterwards. So in the broadest sense, you see here the DRG study requirements. The requirement is to analyze transmission impacts for a total of 1,200 megawatts, first renewable generation, located statewide. And this is broken down into two phases of 600 megawatts each. The first was completed on schedule in mid-June. And this webinar is really at the front end, the kickoff of the Phase 2, an additional 600 megawatts of dispersed renewable generation. And that study will be due mid-September 2009. So again, this is some review for folks that have been on the previous.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, it sounds like we're getting people with spotty sound here. It seems as if we do have a lot of callers. We should be recording, and you should be able to hear us. If you can't hear us, please call back. It sounds like most people can hear. I'm very sorry, Matt. Please go ahead again. Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry for the interruption.
Great. Thanks, Lisa. So again, this is some review for folks that have been on previous webinars that are familiar with the study, but for those that are have not followed it previously, we want to briefly review what the requirements and the legislation are and what the guidelines are. The study is really focused on what's called dispersed renewable generation projects, those by definition in the statute that are between 10 and 40 megawatts in size and that use what's referred to as an eligible energy technology, renewable energy technology as defined by Minnesota statute. And all Minnesota utilities are participating in this study. So as I mentioned already, the first phase of the study, which again was completed in June, was 600 megawatts of dispersed projects. It was dispersed around the state in the five outstate planning zones, and Jared will talk about that in a moment in the summary of the phase one results. It's basically the five outstate regions, excluding the Twin Cities metro region. The phase one focused on a 2010 study year. The system was modeled in the year 2010, and focused on opportunities again in that time frame. The study had the statute had a number of guidelines on how to undertake the study, how to locate renewable projects, and how to do the analysis. There was also a goal to, where possible, interconnect these dispersed renewable generation projects, these 10 to 40 megawatt projects, at the lowest voltage possible. I do want to point out that it is a transmission study, and it focused on the transmission and what's referred to as the sub-transmission system. It is not a distribution interconnection study per se, but there was a lot of groundbreaking work in this phase one study that brought in the sub-transmission system, basically the system down to the 34.5 kV level. And next slide, please, Lisa. There was direction in the statute for the Minnesota Office of Energy Security to set up a technical review committee, which OES did, appointed the committee in July of 2007. And if you could just move to the next slide. This technical review committee was really a very key part of the robust and thorough analysis that was done in this phase one study and will continue in the phase two process. The technical review committee is made up of engineers, technical experts, and has expertise not only from the Minnesota utilities, from the Midwest ISO, but gathered in national experts in wind generation and dispersed generation interconnection, folks from the national laboratories, and also brought in technical experts, engineers, representing a variety of stakeholders that are interested in renewable energy and dispersed renewable generation. So is this, it was this strong technical group of experts that really have guided this phase one study and will continue to guide the phase two study. And while we have excellent analytical capabilities from the utilities to actually complete the analysis, it's this review committee that is reviewing methods and assumptions, preliminary results, and key conclusions. And again, I think that the study has really benefited from the interaction and impact discussions of this technical review committee. If you could step forward, please. And so this is just a little bit more language about the responsibilities of the technical review committee. And if you could just step forward one more, Lisa. So as we sit here today, the status, the phase one, as I've said, it was completed on schedule in mid-June 2008. Phase two is just about to get underway. This webinar really kicks off the start of phase two. So we're gathering input, and this public input gathered today is a key piece of that. The technical review committee will be reconvening later this month to really get into the details of phase two, and inputs from the public are important to that, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. We've gotten some comments already, as we'll talk about today. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jared Owlina, who is with Great River Energy and is the technical lead for the study team. He will do a brief summary of the Phase 1 results, what was found, talk a little bit about what has happened since the Phase 1 study results were released, what kind of response have we seen from project development. He will also talk a little bit about implementation steps of Phase 1, and then we'll transition to scoping for Phase 2 and some initial ideas for that, and then move into wrap-up. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jared.
Thank you, Matt. This is Jared Alcalina. I'm a transmission planning engineer with Great River Energy, and I serve as the study team lead on behalf of the Minnesota transmission owners. And I do want to welcome you back, and I want to thank you for your continued interest and your involvement in this study process. We did review the results of the Phase 1 DRG study during our June webinar, and I just wanted to kind of quickly go over the key results and just some of the highlights. I'm not going to hit everything. Certainly more detail can be seen in the study, which is publicly available. The key results of the AC analysis, and this was to essentially what we were able to do is fit 600 megawatts with no transmission improvements necessary. As we look at the table, there are the five different state planning zones, and each of those in the zone for the statewide aggregation, we were able to fit a certain amount of generation. Take the Northwest, for example. We were unable to fit any generation into the Northwest zone. In the Northeast, we were able to get fine location for 40 megawatts. In the West Central, 100, and so on and so forth. The main constraint that was reached in the transmission system was a transformer up in the Dorsey substation. That's in the province of Manitoba, Canada, specifically near the city of Winnipeg. If we flip to the next screen, next slide, here's a map of the final DRG sites. The red stars were sites that we were unable to locate any generation. We could not find any generation outlet capability at those sites due to the Dorsey issues. And as a result, the sites ended up being pushed further to the south, and those are evident by the green stars. There is one area we were able to find in the northeast zone, and that was in the Cloquet area. But generally, the sites that we were able to locate were in the southern two-thirds of the the southern third of the state of Minnesota. We'll go to the next slide. We are showing a summary here, and we certainly deemed Phase 1 as being a success, and that was essentially that we were able to find room for 600 megawatts under certain scenarios where no transmission infrastructure improvements were necessary. However, we did find that even a dispersed generation pattern could have substantial impacts on the higher voltage grid, and this is evident by the effects on the Dorsey substation near Winnipeg. Also, just some assumptions that we made going into the study, and we certainly want to bring out, is that this study report is a snapshot in time, and it's not representative of the wind generation or generation that could be placed at these sites with certainty. We want to be very clear that this is not a MISO interconnection or delivery study. And also, the report discussed at length about the different types of technical aspects and the different types of studies that may have to be undertaken by the developers. And we are certainly encouraging developers to talk to the local utilities to help identify some of these different studies and the technical requirements depending on the location around the state. And also, and lastly, is that there likely will these generation sites, if somebody were to locate at them, MISO interconnection and delivery study likely would be needed. There is continued interest in this dispersed generation study, Phase 1. I will be presenting this at a MIPSICON, that's a Minnesota Power System Conference, that is being held in St. Paul starting November 5th. And so this presentation will be given there as well. And that's just an indication of the continued interest in the dispersed generation study. The phase one study can be found using the following directions here, and I'm not going to go through them, but this webinar will be posted online, and certainly anybody who's interested in looking at the study in detail can follow these steps and download and read and examine the study. We have had significant response to DRG phase one, and that is we did an examination of the MISO queue, the generation queue, and the requests that have come since June 16th, which is when the report was released. And just a quick summary, there were 11 interconnection requests at the 20 final sites that we identified. They are all wind plants, and they total to over 650 megawatts. And I think this points to a success of phase one. Certainly wind developers took notice, and they were comfortable enough with our analysis and data and comfortable enough that they were willing to fund at least a MISO interconnection request. We'll go to the next screen. And this is just a kind of a real brief map of showing the different sites that there were requests. If we look at, let's take the bottommost request at the Steel Waseca substation, or the Waseca substation. There was one request for 55 megawatts at that site, and it also coincides with the green star, which indicates that that was one of the final 20 DRG sites that we identified. We'll go to the next slide. And to take this a little bit further, the study a little bit further, we did some further analysis of the MISO generation queue. And that was just to try to determine, give the developers a little bit of information as to the interest in the MISO queue and the prior queue generation at several of these sites. And this also leads up to the challenge in phase two. So we looked at the MISO queue prior to June 16th, and at each of the final 20 DRG sites, we looked at the number of requests in the MISO queue as well as the total megawatts. And to give a better sense of the interest right around those 20 sites, we looked within one electrical bus from the identified site, then we looked at two electrical buses, and then three. And then we expanded it to look at the amount of generation in the MISO queue within the same county and then in the adjoining counties as well. And to look in the adjoining counties, it gives us an idea as to the amount of generation that may be upstream or downstream that may be taking some of the generation outlet capability that we identified in the study. We'll go to the next slide. And this is just an example, an illustration of what is meant by one bus, two bus, three buses away. And if we looked at an example, this Mountain Lake site, it's the what we would call an electrical bus, and we do have a dotted oval around it. And if we were to look one bus away, we can see Butterfield, a Mountain Lake tap, as well as a G375. That's a generator that was in the model, and that is one bus away. Now, if we go two buses away, we can see that at the Mountain Lake site, there were two prior requests that were within two electrical buses at Comfrey and Mountain Lake. Then there was another generation request at the Dotson area for 50 megawatts of wind. And we'll go to the next slide. And this is a spreadsheet that we put together from our analysis of the MISO queue. And on the left-hand column, we have the 20 DRG sites that we identified. We have the voltage, the county that it resides in, the planning zone. And from there, we're showing the amount of megawatts in the MISO queue prior to June 16th. And if we look at the top row at AirTech, there were 300 megawatts of generation in one request within one electrical bus. There were none within two electrical buses. There were three requests within three electrical buses for a total of 134 megawatts. Other than those four requests, there were no other requests within that county. However, in the adjoining counties, the counties surrounding Rice County, there was almost 7,000 megawatts of requests. And in total, we're looking at over 7,000 megawatts when we look at everything within the county and the adjoining counties. From this data, there are a couple things that pop out. Number one is there are four sites that it appears that there is at least some space around the substation where there isn't too much prior queue generation, namely Bird Island, Cloquet, Glencoe Municipal, as well as New Prague. And looking at these four, there's no generation within three buses or in the same county. However, there is generation in the adjoining counties. And so that is just a way, this is information that perhaps a developer could use. And this is all public information. It's we've just kind of analyzed it in a different method. But I think when we look at the 20 sites, we look at the rightmost column, you can see the large amount of generation in the nearby vicinity. And I think this gives us a glimpse at our challenges that we're going to be facing in phase two. We'll move to the next slide. There are some steps that are being taken that certainly could aid in dispersed generation. Many people have heard about the MISO interconnection queue reform, and that's essentially a creation of a fast track or a fast lane for generation projects that are in unconstrained areas. And it essentially changes it from a first in, first served, or a first in, first out, to a first ready, first served approach. And I think there's a lot of people that are excited about this and maybe to look at the opportunities, and it'll hopefully free up and declutter the MISO queue a bit. The effects of this remains to be seen, and this is one of the things that will certainly be examined by the study team and the technical review committee as phase two begins. Also, there is some seabed development, community-based energy development that has taken place, and as of June 30th of this year, there are almost 60 megawatts of seabed projects that have completed, another 57 that are under contract, and an additional 4.5 that we expect to be under contract by the end of 2008. In addition, the utilities are working to try to reduce the impediments to lower voltage interconnections, and this is done by ongoing discussions between the utilities and wind developers in general. Also, the utilities are developing streamlined procedures for lower voltage interconnection requests, and then just the continued communication and education with stakeholders on state planning and interconnection type studies. We did go through the legislation that related to DRG for phase one as well as the technical review committee, and now I'd like to kind of step through the legislation that refers specifically to phase two. I think it's pretty well understood that we're looking for an additional 600 megawatts for a total of 1,200 among the five transmission planning zones. And there also is a note in the legislation or a higher total capacity amount if agreed upon by both the utilities and the technical review committee. This has not been decided upon at this point in time, but it is something that will be discussed between the study review or the study team as well as the technical review committee. Also, the study must undertake an analysis method that's similar to what was used in the first study, and using some of the most recent development or recent information that's available. And also, we certainly want to build upon the first phase. The lessons learned in the first phase, we don't want to forget them. We want to carry them through and kind of evolve from the first phase into the second phase. One of the main differences between the first and second phase is that we're going to be using a 2013 model as opposed to a 2010 model when we're considering the transmission system model. And of course, there are going to be additional transmission facilities that will be in the 2013 model that were not shown or evident in the 2010 model. We do have a little longer timeline prior to this study being due. We're looking at about just a little over 11 months from now is when the study is due. And so we're hoping that gives us an maybe a little better opportunity to examine data and determine maybe what it means and if restudy is required. With that, we're going to jump into the scope overview. Public comments were requested. We did receive just one comment, and I've kind of highlighted some of the main items out of the one comment that was received. Number one was ignore the Dorsey loop flow issues, and essentially the rationale is to assume that the constraint will be fixed, and there may be particular CapEx projects that may relieve this Dorsey loop flow issues, and this is something that will certainly be discussed within the TRC. Also was to look at different generator sink assumptions, perhaps look at more local sinks, that is to match local generation directly to local load, and that will be something that will be taken under advisement. And here's the 1,200 megawatts or more per the legislation. There was also just some general report writing, maybe include some kind of a cost-benefit analysis in a graphical format. Also, there was a suggestion that we tinker with the substation screening methodology, and that was really the crux of what was used in Phase 1 to bring the thousands of electrical buses in the state of Minnesota down to a manageable level of about 300. And the next was to perform more in-depth zonal analysis, and this is as opposed to aggregate analysis. For example, maybe study the Northeast or the Northwest more intensely and study it by itself. Also, to perform some CapEx sensitivity analysis. I'm not going to go into this sensitivity analysis, but because it will be covered in some future slides. Also in this comment was to ensure that all projects that are projected to be in by 2013 are included in the model. In addition to this one comment that was received, just in general in talking with different groups and different individuals between the release of in June of this study and now is to perhaps make the study report more narrative and perhaps show and develop a few more illustrations and to make it better understandable by a layperson. We'll move on to 23. The study team and the TRC did generate some initial ideas for scope development, and this was put together basically to allow the TRC and the study team to really start thinking about Phase 2 and to help foster ideas. And when we're seeking public input, we're hoping that these next slides will also help foster your ideas and generate your comments as well. And this is really your opportunity to get ideas in on the ground floor of the Phase 2. And one of the things I do want to ensure is that the budget and the schedule for this Phase 2 has not been developed, and they have not been established, and so, and it is done purposely, and so we're not tying ourselves down, is that the scope development really at this point in time is wide open, and so we're trying to really encourage people to give their public comments. You know, your friendly utilities are funding this study, but ultimately we realize that the ratepayers will eventually pay for this study, so we certainly want this type of study that we do to really bring value and to help provide additional insight into a dispersed generation scenario. But when we look at the results of Phase 1 And speaking both study-wise and economically, I do want to caution that past performance is no indicator of future results. And when we developed some of these initial scope ideas, many of them were based upon comments received on the phase one study. And we're hoping that we can go somewhat beyond the legislative language, but yet still focus on dispersed generation. And we've broken down the initial ideas into four different groups. Number one is identify the 600 megawatts, and this is per the legislative requirements. Perform some sensitivity analysis, looking at a dispersed scenario in a different manner. There's also pro-mod analysis that is a possibility. And this will be discussed further on. And then additional DRG opportunities with grid expansion. We'll move on to the next slide. The first item is identify additional 600 megawatts of dispersed renewable generation. And this, of course, would meet the legislative requirements, and we would also look at many of the assumptions in phase one. Now, we realize that of the assumptions in phase one, that many of these assumptions in phase two, we're going to attempt to refine and explore those assumptions and perhaps whittle some of them away a bit. And the types of questions that we've generated when we look to identifying an additional 600 megawatts is how to better account for the prior queue generation. And if there's two major questions that have come out of phase one, this is certainly one of the big questions, is how to account for that prior queue generation. How to further analyze impacts to the higher voltage grid that was found in phase one, and specifically Dorsey. We do realize that this is a big issue, and this will be discussed at our very first TRC meeting, which will be held October 29. Next is how to accommodate the 1.5% conservation requirements that was put forth by the state, which transmission model to use, and do we study beyond 600 megawatts? Each of these questions now are broken down and will be discussed in a little more detail, starting on slide 25. The prior queue generation generated a lot of interest both within the TRC and outside of the TRC. And that is, how do we reflect the massive MISO queue? And in phase one, we didn't account for the MISO queued generation in the model, but through our screening techniques, we tried to avoid counties that had more than 500 megawatts, and we're looking for a more sophisticated method of accounting for the prior queue generation. And the options that we've developed so far in trying to account for this generation, kind of the leading candidate is to put generation in the model based upon the MISO queue reform. And MISO has developed a list of likely projects that will benefit as a result of the MISO queue reform. The second option is to add 1,000, 1,500, or pick your number, or more megawatts into the model based upon the MISO queue. And the number could be determined by the amount that's going to be needed to meet the RES goals somewhere between 2012 and 2016. Could also look at generation with signed PPAs, power purchase agreements between a wind generator and a load-serving utility. Also, perhaps place generation into the model based on a geographical spread, and we're certainly open to other ideas as well. Move on to slide 26. Also, trying to deal with the 1.5% energy conservation goal that was set forth by the state, there are a couple different methodologies or options in trying to account for this. And specifically what we're looking for is there a relationship between energy saved and demand? And for example, on a hot summer day, we're going to hit a certain amount of electrical peak, and what that number is depends upon many different conditions. Now, the summer peak that we hit, is that is that affected by energy saved, say a more efficient hot water heater? The Department of Commerce has developed a formula, and we could use that. We could also look at some of the recent integrated resource plans that were submitted to the state by the utilities. And this is all up for discussion and open for public comment at this point. Move on to slide 27. Which model to utilize? And we started out with a model, a 2013 model, and then we backed it down to a 2010 time frame for phase one. And when we move on to phase two, we are looking at a 2013 time frame. We studied summer peak and the summer off peak cases, and that was, which was used in phase one. And as a study team, I guess collectively and unanimously, we would rather focus on the analysis and not the model building. And the reason being is that model building is measured in terms of months and not weeks or days. And it's, so it's a very time-consuming process. And if we can start out with a known model, the one that was used in phase one, certainly we could shave some time off of that and allow more time for analysis and different sensitivities. And even with the model from phase one, we realize that there is a fair amount of updating and topology adjustments that are going to be needed in order to move the model from a 2010 to a 2013 time frame. There are other models available and models that we could choose off of the shelf. However, there are a number of pros and cons that come with each of the different models, and certainly this will be discussed within the TRC. Moving on to DRG sensitivity analysis, we're hoping to provide additional insight into a dispersed generation scenario and to determine whether there's what interaction there is between the identified DRG sites and prior queue generation. And we have developed kind of a methodology in going about this, and this is to look at the phase one sites, the phase two sites, and look at those in combination. What we are trying to do with this sensitivity analysis is trying to stay away from highly theoretical scenarios, but focus more on likely and more realistic scenarios, and to give us a good look at a dispersed scenario and to provide that additional insight that was requested after phase one report was released. Another idea that has come up is something called ProMod analysis. ProMod is short for production model, and it's essentially an analysis. It's a time simulation that we can do a year-long analysis, and that mimics how transmission and generation operate under different conditions. That tries to mimic a typical year. And specifically, it accounts for the variability of generation, specifically wind generation. This is a highly technical tool, but it does provide some important production cost information. And this is one of the things that is going to be looked at by the TRC and the study team. We do have a number of objectives that we're hoping to meet here. Essentially, it could help look at and identify the differences between high wind areas and low wind resource areas, and not just looking at generation or just looking at transmission, but trying to combine the both of them to look at the combined cost of generation and transmission, and determine the economics for each of the sites, and realizing that depending on the different scenario, it does have an effect on the ratepayers, and so we want to be cognizant of that. And we also want to determine if additional transmission is going to be required to ensure the reliable system operations. And we're also looking at what if we just tried to solve or meet the renewable energy standard with dispersed generation as opposed to the system as it is being developed now. Also, we could look at, examine a case where there's generation in a area that has 35% net capacity factor as opposed to 40%. those are just some of the things that could be looked at with this ProMod analysis. And if anybody has any thoughts or comments on this, we would be more than happy to review those comments. Moving on to the last scope idea is grid expansion. And there's been increased interest in the sensitivity between grid expansion and the opportunities for dispersed generation. And we also realize that certain portions of the proposed CapEx projects may be in service by 2013, and that there's a number of different scenarios there. You know, a good portion of them could be in, or none of them could be in, but this would give us an opportunity to look at a sensitivity with certain large high voltage grid projects in the system. Looking down in the objectives, is that would provide another look or another view into a DRG scenario. And essentially we're trying to determine that if grid expansion took place, does it enable additional DRG opportunities? We're also looking at reliability benefits between DRG and grid expansion. Now, we've covered basically the four initial ideas, and one of the things I do want to note is that this is not a promise that the study team and the TRC are going to undertake this type of analysis, but it's the type of things that we're considering as we move into phase two. So with that, we'll move into the DRG phase two schedule, and Matt Schroeder will take you through that.
Great. Thanks, Jared. I appreciate that. As with the first phase of the DRG study, the technical review committee will be active throughout the phase two study. We anticipate, as we did with phase one, meeting in person approximately quarterly over the coming year. And I expect that we'll be scheduling conference calls in between that as well. If you could step to the next slide, Lisa. So in wrapping up with next steps, before we get to responding to your questions, which you've sent in, we already had one round of requested comments with the announcement for this webinar. We had requested comments by October 8th and did get some comments in, as was reported. We'd like to leave an opening for additional comments. If you have thoughts after the webinar concludes, we'd like to get those by the end of this week, October 17th, and you can see on your screen the email where those comments should be sent. And then, as we've said, the technical review committee will be meeting in late October, and will take all of this input as well as the statutory guidelines to develop the detailed study scope. And as Jared had outlined, it will include some subset of these ideas received. Certainly, it'll be difficult to cover all these ideas, but the technical review committee will be carefully considering all the input and fashioning that detailed scope. We do anticipate another webinar midway during the phase two study, as well as when the phase two study is completed, and then the final report for phase two is scheduled to be completed mid-September 2009. With that, that concludes our presentation for today. We have received some questions, a few questions, which we will address now. And I also want to say again that in addition to the full phase one study, which is posted on the Minnesota Department of Commerce website, we will also be posting the slides from today's presentation. So first, there were a couple questions related to CBED, community-based energy development, and DRG, dispersed renewable generation. And I want to emphasize that this study is focused on dispersed renewable generation, which is a geographic dispersion. It's referring to spreading relatively smaller projects around the state. There is nothing in statute or direction for this study that specifies ownership of those projects. So many of the projects that are developed in DRG sites may be seabed development, but they don't necessarily need to be seabed development, certainly, and this is a technical study focused on a particular type of project in size and that they're renewable generation. There was a question about the seabed development numbers on slide 20 that we presented earlier. Those were assembled by the utilities, and it's my understanding that those are cumulative numbers in Minnesota, and they're cumulative up to June of 2008, but we can confirm that those numbers. Then there were a couple of questions about the study process, and I'll turn it over to Jared for that.
All right, some of the, I do have three questions here, and the first one is it possible that wind projects larger than 40 megawatts could displace some of those between the 10 and 40? And one of the things I would like to emphasize is that this DRG study, this is not a program, this is not something that somebody, a wind developer could say, I want that site or I want this slot, and be brought through the interconnection process. The results of this study were available to everybody in the public, seabed developers, large wind developers, and anybody could use the information. And it is certainly possible that some of the generation sites larger than 40 megawatts could utilize some of the generation that was what was identified in phase one. But we would like to stress that much of this is managed by MISO, and they manage the MISO queue, and it is not controlled by the transmission owning utilities. Also, there was a question that basically they were wondering if we tried to determine some of the sites based on wind patterns as opposed to the reliability of wind power. We did have a screening methodology in phase one that we looked at the wind resource, and the net capacity factor takes into account essentially the reliability or the variability of wind. As far as the reliability of the transmission system, when we went through the study, we ensured that the transmission reliability was maintained throughout, and we accounted for the size and the location based upon the reliability. Also, there was a question as to the megawatt values of the proposed wind projects that were in the MISO queue. That is the nameplate that was identified when they put forth an interconnection request and a delivery request, and they weren't adjusted to reflect the actual generation. It was taken directly from the MISO queue. There was also a question as to whether the study team and the TRC reviewed and discussed modeling load and other type sinks. For phase one, we did discuss this. We didn't study different generation sink scenarios. We just studied one that the sink was basically to the Twin Cities and the surrounding region, as far north as Cambridge, as far south as south of Rochester, as well as over toward Jackson, Minnesota.
Great. Thank you, Jared. And with that, it concludes the questions and our webinar for today. We thank everyone for joining us. Again, if you have additional comments, we'd really appreciate hearing from you. If you could send comments to ggstudy.commerce@state.min.us, and if we could get that by the end of this week, that would be terrific. We're excited about getting started with the phase two study for the dispersed renewable generation. We're looking forward to getting back into this work, and we will be in touch with all of you as the study gets under progress as we schedule another webinar midway. With that, we're concluded. Thank you.